That one woke me up.
Yeah.
When the music started playing and the bass hit, I was like, oh, we got a podcast to do, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast. I'm Nick Scarpino, one of your hosts, alongside Joey Noel.
Hello.
And Roger Picorni.
Yeet.
And Snowbike Mike. Mike, how you doing today?
What's up, homie?
Good. We're great. Snowbike Mike, right before we started the podcast, or actually about 2 hours ago, was like, homie, I got a haircut at 2:30, but I'll be back by 3 for sure. 3:23 right now. Yeah. A lot of people wonder, they go, why did Mike choose to have this haircut at 2:30 if he knew he was going to be on the podcast at 3? And I asked him that question. And Mike said, oh, Andy just told me that I was on the podcast. To which Barrett earlier replied, no, he didn't. He actually swapped that out 3 days ago.
Yeah, he did.
Definitely. And then Mike was like, well, I can't get another appointment. Yeah. To which I replied, Mike, you go to a barber in Daly City. They're not that stacked. No. I think they might be pretty busy because it's a pretty small shop.
But he could have shown up any time in the last...
Could have called him and said, can I come by on Saturday or Monday or whatever.
And also, I don't know if you know this, he's really good friends with this barber.
They're
like,
homies.
Yeah, like the guy has our Twitch streams on all the time. Like, they're that close. Because they're like... They're the boys. So he has his number. He could text him. He could be like,
can you sneak me in a little bit early?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 15 minutes early.
2:15 so I can make it on my podcast by 2:30.
No, he can't. He doesn't want to put him out.
I can't do that, dog.
Can't put out Greg Miller. Can't put out the barber.
But then puts out everyone else. He looked at me before this podcast and he said, Roger, if I can't make it, if the haircut goes long, you're in. And I looked at him and I said, I'm already in. Yeah. I'm already in.
When we put the calendar invite, the names by the thing are generally the people that are supposed to be on the thing.
Yeah.
Mike knows that, of course. We're giving him shit. He'll be here in a couple seconds, folks. Of course, this is a Kind of Funny Podcast where each and every week, four, sometimes five friends gather around this table. I just heard the door. And I could hear Mike, like,
he's probably listening.
Tight ass, good posture, just walk running in
He's taking his time. He knows.
He's taking his sweet time. He's got to drop it off. Folks, if you love what we do, please consider supporting us with the Kind of Funny membership over on Patreon to get all of our shows ad free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive experience from Greg Miller. You can get the Kind of Funny Podcast for free with ads and without exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Shout out to our wonderful Patreon producers who, without you, we could not make this show possible. James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Kiernan Hovasapien. I nailed it 3 weeks in a row. And the second and the fourth week is just like,
just gonna get you.
That's a tough one. Carl Jacobs, Kishan Patel, Karen Lindner, and Nathan Lamoth. We appreciate you. Very much. Shout out to our illustrious sponsors today, Factor. We'll talk about them a little bit later. Before the podcast started, it's so funny because we always have these very interesting discussions like right before the podcast starts.
Yeah.
And then right when it starts, we tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
But Joey, or one of you, was it you that said who has the most brain rot in the office at this point?
Yeah.
Clearly it's me.
I thought we'd received a collective consciousness here.
At this point, we're the same person.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can claim that.
Really?
Not with Nick. Nick might be the outlier.
No, but we all have like little inklings of Nick within us at all times.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's true.
Elaborate on that.
I mean, I look at Nick sometimes and he looks back at me and we're just one.
Exactly,
right? And he winked. He knew it. Yeah,
exactly.
We know.
Name one thing, Roger, that I've influenced your life positively in, and then name two things negative.
You want me to start with? Which one do you start with? Because one's
easier
than the
other. Dealer's choice.
One's easier than the other.
Positive. Positive. I mean, strong, older male role model. You know, someone I can look up to, right? Negative.
Mm-hmm.
No sock. I mean, well, no shoes sometimes.
No shoes sometimes.
No shoes sometimes.
Yeah, that's
no
probably Joey's negative too. As well.
Yeah. Sometimes beatboxing makes me angry because you're really good.
Oh.
It makes you angry.
But then it makes me angry because it's like if he was bad at it, I would be okay with it. You know what I mean? Like if it was just like a little tick that he does, we're just like blah, 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 blah. But he's just like really good at it. It's like you're showing off right now. Those are the two negatives and the one positive.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you for being nice to me on the negatives. What's funny is Fran, of all people, loves when I beatbox. And then he tries to beatbox back to me, and I'm like, it's not. We got to shut that down.
He can't do it.
Shut that down.
He can't do it. Where did that come from? You're just always
my brother.
Beatboxing? Yeah.
My brother does that all the time. He's like the master at it. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder if I can do that, and I can really do it too. But yeah, Matt is definitely one of those human beings that if it's quiet in the room, he can't stand that. So he has to make some sort of sound, much like a child, you know, to just be like something. Someone's got to draw the attention somewhere. We can't have a moment of peace and quiet here.
Yeah.
How dare we be left alone with our thoughts for a single second?
It's they're too intrusive.
No.
We couldn't possibly. Joey.
Yeah.
Who do you think has the most? Who do you think is the most at the end of their rope in this office right now?
At the end of their rope. I mean, there's a lot of different options. My gut instinct says Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Perpetually. We just put, there's so much on Tim. We just keep putting stuff on Tim. And one of these days, Tim's going to break.
No.
I think he broke a long time ago. But it's like that sound your car makes where you're like, still going.
Yeah.
You know, not a good sound.
No.
It's like a fan belt thing or a grinding. And I should, and at some point, this engine's going to explode, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah. So it only happens when I turn left. You know what I mean? As long as it doesn't happen when I turn right, it's fine. It's fine.
That's so funny.
So I do think that he's the one we've broken the most. In terms of other, I do think that we've also broken Kevin quite a bit.
Yeah, but Kevin's like a bone where you break him, he comes back stronger.
Is that how bones work?
I think so.
Really?
Kevin,
science with Kevin.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much.
at the site where it's broken, it can never break there again. It becomes adamantium steel.
Really?
Yeah, that's why all
adamantium
the other parts
steel. That's
wow.
What it is.
Holy
start
shit.
Breaking around it. Yeah. See, I got a lot to teach you, Roger.
Yeah, teach me some more.
Stick with me.
Are you on the white collar train now that that's available for streaming? Or
oh, it
are
is.
You not taking
Joey,
up that mantle.
It's so interesting that you say that. What a great rabbit hole we're going to go down on this podcast right now, because currently there's no evidence that a broken bone will grow back stronger. than it was once before it was healed. Although there is a brief time when the fractured site is stronger, this is fleeting, and the healed bones are capable of breaking again anywhere, including at the previous fracture site. Yeah, but like, have we tested that out?
Yeah, no one's figured it out.
Mike, I need you to break your leg, heal it, and then we break it again.
That we could implement.
I mean, you know about my broken elbow, right? That I never got fixed.
No,
I fractured my elbow playing basketball.
How long ago?
Right before the pandemic. So this was what, 2, going on 3 years ago now. And I was supposed to go in and get it checked. You know, I got the x-ray. She's like, oh, it's fractured. You know, you're going to have to come back and we might have to put you through surgery. COVID happened. I never returned.
No, you got to go back.
And I live fine. You know what I mean? You come back stronger. You come back better.
What did you say about your arm sometimes?
Sometimes it's in pain. You know what I mean? If I lie in bed and I'm scrolling TikTok for an insane amount of hours, and I'm like this, my elbow starts to feel a lot of pain, you know what I mean?
A lot of pain.
Maybe sometimes I overstretch and I'm like, ah, that's painful, but like, I'm back better. I'm fine, you know what I mean?
I injured this shoulder in like year one of jiu-jitsu, like trying to pull it out of an arm bar and just not tapping early enough and just like trying to get myself out of stupid situations. So the shoulder feels totally fine, 100% mobility. If I lay, like, you know, if you lay down for a massage or something where you're just kind of laying in the same spot for a long period of time, or if I go to the barber and they do like the hot towel thing to me, if I'm there for too long, my hand goes numb. Is that bad?
Let's go around the table.
Is that bad? Should I have that looked at? Should I have that severe nerve damage looked
at? Nah, that's chill. That's normal.
That is one of those things where you start thinking, because as you guys know, I don't think I've told the audience yet this, but I injured my shoulder pretty badly a couple weeks ago in jiu-jitsu. Just normal wear and tear of just doing a contact sport like that at 44 years old. Actually, at any age, I shouldn't even claim it's my age. It's just a freak accident that happened. I went down, someone came down like on top of me, my shoulder went right into the mat, and I felt kind of a little hinky-dinky crunch.
Would you scream when that happened?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, no, there was an audible, like, ooh, like, I was...
Holy shit.
I was like, ah, you know, give him one of those. Had to leave, still very much in pain, went to the orthopedic surgeon, and he was like, I don't think you broke... He didn't break anything, because I got an x-ray on it. He was like, you probably have a tear, and I've got a lot of bruising out here, so that kind of... And, you know, you can't put a lot of pressure on it. But I'm supposed to go back to the ortho on Monday, and I'm like,
what if you just don't go? He's gonna come back stronger, Raj. You know,
because
what I mean?
Here's the thing:
what if he just doesn't go?
Yeah.
At this point, and even doing this really hurts.
Okay.
At this point,
so just extending your arm,
just like this right there, it hurts.
Yeah,
this feels good. Right, yeah. It's mostly right there.
80%. You know,
I'm 80.
What I mean? He's 80%. He's fine to me.
How are you doing at math in your school?
You know, this 100. He was right there. That's 80% to me. That's 80%.
Yeah, but what about this whole back part?
No, that part's fine.
Yeah,
that part's fine. It's just at this one part
now
right here.
Now we're going 360% is what you want, Joe, if we're doing a full circle.
360%.
360 degrees.
360 would be 100. We'll start with that. We'll just use square numbers.
He's 270 right now, my mind.
The question is, like, because he was like, come back, and if it still hurts or whatever, we'll give you like an MRI and see if it's like torn, and if it's torn to a certain degree, like, he's like, you probably have a rotator cuff tear, but the question is, like, will it just heal on its own, which they don't often do, apparently, or do you have to have some sort of surgery for it?
A little laparoscopic.
Yeah, but at this point, I'm like, I just wait 8 weeks.
I'm chilling, yeah.
And see what happens.
When was the MRI machine created? You know what I mean? Like, let's look at when that came out. Look at this. You know,
the correlation with doctors lining their pockets.
Exactly. It's like,
we are not going down this
conspiracy. Are you going down?
There's hundreds upon thousands of years where other people didn't go in for an MRI. They survived. Nick will be fine. Nick will be fine.
I mean, think about
it. Is he going to live to 80?
Also, what, like, what am I doing?
What do you want him to reach up to the Cheez-Its up on the top shelf?
Can't get that shelf anyway. Well, can't get up there anyway.
This is just going to deteriorate as Nick gets older. I don't want D to have to start wiping Nick's ass, you know?
First off, I got two good hands.
Two good hands.
And we have a hose.
True.
So if push
comes
to shove,
throw you in the shower and hose you down.
hose me down like you're D-lousing a prisoner. You know what I mean? Just get me out of there. Mm-hmm. No, but it is one of those things where like I'm just like, dude. First off, I'm claustrophobic, so my fear of the MRI machine is like guiding a lot of this.
I've done a few.
If I wasn't claustrophobic, I'd be like, and also the fact that MRIs are fucking outrageously expensive.
Yeah. Correct.
But like, it's most of the claustrophobia because I believe in like, look, if you got to spend some money on your health, that's the most important thing. But I'm like, don't sandwich me into this.
Have you done an MRI before?
I've done multiple MRIs before.
Okay, me too.
And I do not like them.
Yeah.
And I have yet to go in head first, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
They tried to put me in head first on my knee one time, and I was like, hey, brainstorm sesh real quick. What if you flip me around and just put my leg in? The guy's like, oh, we can do that too. I was like,
thank you.
Homie, come here.
Let me rotate it.
Let me break it down for you. I've told you on the form I'm claustrophobic. Doctor gave me a fucking like sleeping pill because I'm claustrophobic, right? All this shit. No, it was like maybe it was an Ambien. It was something else. It was like what do they used to give to people all the time if they had quote unquote trouble sleeping? It wasn't Ambien, it was like a Valium.
Valium.
He gave me a Valium and I was like, put that in my pocket for later. but I was like, bro, so you're gonna tell me the whole time like I was worrying about this, you could put me in the other way? He's like, yeah. And I was like, just as a person who has claustrophobia and you have, I'm sure, other patients today that are gonna suffer from this, that's your starting point, dog. Not a negotiation. And they're such assholes, these like MRI techs, because they don't have time, because people freak out and they don't have, they're like, oh, fuck now, this is going to take forever. I'm backed up. I have other patients.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
dude. So it moves a little bit,
Let me just explain to you guys what this is like for someone with claustrophobia. It is my worst fucking fear.
Yeah.
To be sandwiched in there, you can't move, you can't get out of it. And the worst part about it is that you can't wheel yourself. If I could go in there and be like, okay, I'm cool, I can get out whenever I want, it's cool. But it's like, they strap you in and it's like, and you can feel the motorized pull and you're like, I can't slide this thing out of here if I can't. It's the worst. But I got through. Anyway, so long story short, I'm sure the shoulder will heal on its own.
It'll be fine. I for sure broke one of my toes a few weeks ago.
You can't do shit about toe.
For sure. Like it was like one of those things like, oh, that's a bad stub. And I was like, ooh, this still hurts. And then it healed weird. And now like randomly I just get like a little jolt. Like it's been like a month.
That's weird.
2 months. Yeah, it's for sure not great.
That'll be great for your half marathon training.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's over now. I got the medal. It happened. I did it. I did it technically.
We got medals.
I mean?
Did you
We
hear?
Got medals. Mike got a medal. Mike and I
were delivered.
Mike and I are equal. We've done the equal amount of
half marathon
training
runners
and everything.
Here.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you this. There was
no way.
As I was going through the trials and tribulations of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which has led me to my current pain threshold. We do a lot of in-house competitions, and that's how we do promotions for you. Real competitions or in-house competitions, they're both same level of nerve-wracking. There was one time I was like, fuck, okay. And they get you, right? They go to the class, hey guys, great class right now. You guys coming to the competition on Saturday? You're gonna be here. And they go one by one. And if you go, I can't, they go, you can't. And you gotta explain in front of the entire class what bullshit excuse you. Oh, my brother's in town.
It's like jury duty.
It's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Trying to get out of jury duty.
So I get roped into the, and man, I'm talking roped in. I'm like running away. I got excuses that fucking, you can't even think about. I was like, the aliens are coming on Saturday, bro. I got to come greet them, right? But my head instructor is like, no, you got to come. I was like, fine, I got to come. He's like, dude, come on. That's all it took. The Friday before that competition, get the email. Hey, so-and-so is sick.
Yes.
Canceling the competition.
Fuck yeah, bro.
No better feeling. And some people, like real competitors, people that are actually good at things, like guys that get like their black belts in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, disappointed.
Of course.
Trained hard for these things. Me, live to die another day.
Fuck yeah.
Send the t-shirt. Great. Tell him. Yeah. Send the t-shirt.
Give me the medal. We get medals too. They give us like, give me the medal. Just send that thing.
Just give
me
it. Okay.
Yeah. We've never seen your Jiu-Jitsu medal.
The in-house competitions are more like just it's a fun like reward for doing the thing. If you compete, you get a strap on your belt. If you win and you're due for a promotion, that's how we give promotions. And then of course, if you go out and do an external competition, like just a World League or Naga or any of those places, like if you beat people in those mostly they count the same, but you also get promoted there as well because that's you going up against like a rival school, just like Cobra Kai.
So cool.
You're going to be in it one of these
coming
days.
Back.
You're going to be in it.
Cobra Kai? I can do it.
You heard about Raj, right? Did you hear
potentially?
Joe?
Yeah. Potentially.
Did you share with the people?
No,
okay,
I haven't talked about it. Yeah, okay.
We're dipping a toe in.
I like that word learning.
I have a question for you with your claustrophobia.
Sure.
Does that include elevators? Like, it's getting sick and
Do you take the stairs whenever?
That's what happened to me this weekend.
I don't have an issue in most elevators, but there are moments. So we were at D and I on our last vacation. We were at a museum. I can't remember which one. We were at a museum and we needed to go up to like the fourth or fifth floor. And I think this is in Paris. And so like European elevators are like the size of a fucking shoebox. And it's me and this other couple. And I'm like, if it's just the two of us, and I've seen the elevator open and close now a couple times. And I'm like dreading this. I'm like, okay, this is like maybe 3 by 3 feet.
Yeah.
Enough for four bodies comfortably. Right. But I always do that. I have like a specific thing I do. Like I let everyone go first and then I'll go in last so I can be close to the door. Cause then I just feel like, okay, if I have to, you know, you pull the door, you climb up, whatever the fucking thing is, we're out. Right. I get in and then another couple gets in and D's holding my hand and she just feels me immediately. I'm like, nope. We're walking up the stairs. Aww. I was like, we need the exercise anyway.
Yeah.
But like if I'm in an elevator in a hotel or whatever, it's usually fine. It's just when it's packed. Like the worst experience I've ever had was E3 right before, I think it was like E3 right before the pandemic hit, whatever that E3 was. And it was the biggest one yet. And we were in one of those shitty LA hotels that the elevator like doesn't really work in that much ever.
Yeah.
And it was us and like 20 other people sandwiched. And they were hammered. So they were like jumping up and down and shit. And I'm like, Tim looked at me because Tim was with me and he was like, dude, you're going to be okay. And I was like, I'm going to lose my shit and kill all these fucking people right now. Like, yeah. I can't. You all don't understand how bad this is. We're stuck in here. There's no air. Granted, there's air coming through. But yeah, that was pretty bad. Elevators are fine. Flights are fine now because I've worked through it. So I don't usually have any too much of a problem, period, anymore. Unless it's that one moment. And that's the shit thing with phobias and like panic attacks is they just kind of. They hit you out of nowhere, and you feel it, and you go, ooh, you got to breathe through this and close your eyes. And if you don't, it's like suddenly you blank out for a second. You're out in the middle of the street with your shirt off, like running down the road, being like, I'm free. You can't stop me. But yeah.
We were stuck in an elevator for probably like 2 minutes this weekend, which doesn't sound long, but feels really long when you're in an elevator. We're at the Topanga Canyon Mall coming home from a Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
We get in the elevator. It takes like a while to get going. And we get to the floor, it rings, and the door opens like this much.
That would freak me out. I'd be like, we're going to die.
It's me, it's Andrea,
yeah,
and then it's Lauren and Maria. Lauren, this is her worst nightmare. She freezes immediately. Andrea shoves her hands in the door and starts to open it. Maria and I are both like mentally establishing P corners because we are just conceded that we're going to be living here.
That's the problem, right?
Andrea, it kind of starts moving in. Andrea pulls her hands out and then it like finally opens and stuff like that. And the people on the other side look terrified and they were immediately like, we're going to the stairs. Like,
yeah,
we're
don't go in that elevator. Do not go in that elevator.
But I was really impressed that Andrea just tried to manhandle.
That is wild. That would not be my first.
No way.
No.
I'm
man.
Like, press the emergency button, press the
I'm
fire
calling
department.
Somebody, yeah.
No, I'm not losing fingers and being stuck bleeding out in this elevator. Fuck this feels like a Saw movie.
God, I'm getting nervous just thinking about that.
Fine. It was
hey,
fine.
Mike. Your hair looks great, homie.
Thanks. Yeah. Homie, shout out to my guy Rob, top of the hill. Yeah. Always for the fresh cut. You know, this time I said I'll give you two options. We can do the one, the normal, or two, I'll let you do whatever you want. I'm in that phase right now where I'm like, you know what, we're going to do this. And I think he gave me like the semi-normal. It's a little different, but he did finish where he's like, Mike, if you really want to get weird, next time you come in, we can do that. And I was like, Rob,
what
let's
does that
do
mean?
It.
What is weird?
Well, I think Rob is worried of like, we have a look now, right? And we have like, we have the routine.
Established the
and
look.
I think every barber is like willing to take it there with you, but like at the same time doesn't want to have that moment of like, oh shit, I fucked up Mike's hair and like now he's gonna look bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think there's that hesitation in all barbers of like, I don't want to go there, but like if you really want to go there, like maybe you can push me there. And so I'm gonna push him next time. Yeah.
He does
a little mohawk.
He does a really good
mohawk.
Fan. Yeah, he's got it. The boys up at the top of the hill, they got it. Good little vibe, you know what I mean? Doors open, you're looking out. You know, kids are playing UFC video games in the shop. We're all laughing.
Do they do the hot towel?
No hot towels there. No.
Really?
You got to talk him into doing the hot towel.
Really?
The hot towel is the best experience. I mean, some people don't like it. Yeah. And it's weird for me to say this because the first time they did it, I totally freaked out because I'm claustrophobic. Because lo and behold, podcast. When they cover your face with a piping hot towel and you can't breathe, you know, you freak out a little bit. But for whatever reason, like, dude, the next couple times after that, I was like, I've never felt more relaxed in my entire life. I used to have a guy, Roberto. I don't think he works there anymore. Nice guy, older guy. We used to vibe. And he looked a lot like Santana. So I was like, that's cool because that makes me think of Santana. Like,
puts you in a
San Francisco zone.
Yes, exactly. Oh, is he really? Hmm? That's cool. A lot of Bay Area.
It could have been Santana.
Park and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. But I'll never forget the first time he cut the hair. He's like, okay, you want a hot towel? I was like, sure. What does that do? And he goes, he gets it out and it's hot. He plays a hot potato with it and goes, and like they whiff it at you and you feel the heat come. And it's menthol. Mm-hmm. And then they wrap it around and clear a little spot for you. And your problems just go away for 3 minutes. And then he did this thing where I'll never forget. He's just like, and he started like massaging my face through the hot towel, like doing the jaw muscles and all this stuff. And I'm like, this guy's getting tipped so hard right now.
Yeah.
I could have phrased that differently, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm like, this is above and beyond. And then one time he was literally like, hey, do you want like a little neck massage? And I was like, anything you want to do after that hot towel thing, you can do to me.
Let's experiment.
What you got to do.
Exactly. Like, if you need help moving, I assume it's going to be a great experience. I will help you.
So how much conversation are y'all bringing to the barbershop? For me and the boys, we could talk for hours, right? I could talk forever. But I do notice when it's me in the shop with the boys, I can, you know, play patty cake with everybody and get them all going. When there was like the little kids and some other people, I usually tend to like bring the energy and then I slow down. And then it's like, now I'm either staring at the floor or I'm closing my eyes. Do y'all do that at the barbershop?
I go to the barbershop on like Saturday, last appointment, second to last appointment. I don't like there to be anyone in the barbershop.
No.
The one I go to is in the city, and it's like, it's in an area where you get a lot of foot traffic by it. So it's kind of nice. And they do this thing where they turn you around. So you're just looking out into the windows, which at first was really weird, but eventually is still fucking really weird. But I like to just relax. I don't like to talk too much. My guy I go to is a nice guy. He's a younger guy. And he just kind of talks every once in a while. But we're talking, there's three other barbers there, maybe no other clients. I love that. I love to just relax on it.
Yeah, I'm not. When I did go to the barber back in the day, I was not talking much. My dad would, because my whole family would go to like the same barber, like my brother and my dad. And like they all knew him, and like they would always like, but what's up? What's up? My dad would talk to them, but like I was never the talker. I remember one time I went to the barber, and I was like, I gotta start fucking just shaving my head because I don't like going to the barber. Is that this one guy is just this newer barber, and he's just kind of like out there and just saying whatever, and he's like, oh man, how you doing? I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm doing okay. And he just starts talking about his wife's tits the entire time. entire time. I was just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna shave my head from now on.
At one point, did you think if I keep this going, he'll show me a picture?
I think it was going that direction.
Oh, no.
It was going that direction. Shit. He was like, man, it's crazy. I'm so excited after this. I'm gonna go see my girl's tits, and it's like, oh my god, Jesus Christ!
Like, you understand? I don't know
what's
low-key
going on? It's empty, completely empty. Of course.
There's a 5% chance that if you kept that relationship going, he was gonna be like, would you like to have sex with my wife?
Yeah, I think that was the direction. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was where it was
absolutely
going.
Wow. Yeah.
And I guess you're smart for dodging out of that,
or not?
Maybe not.
Or not?
Yeah. Who knows?
God damn it!
I talk all the time though.
Yeah,
because it's the hair salon, but also the girl that does my hair. She's one of my friends from high school. Catch up a few times a year.
But also, how long does it take? Because Dee's in that chair for like hours.
Yeah, it depends on what I'm doing. Depends on if I have pink in my hair and she has to bleach it, which is, this is all left over from the last time I had pink in my hair. I haven't seen her in a while. I'm usually there for like between 2 hours minimum, sometimes longer.
I like that. I'm trying to stay in the shop as long as possible.
That's wild. I see you after your much storied career.
Thank you.
As an esports announcer, as a shoutcaster. I see you opening a chain of Snowbike Mike's barbershops.
Oh, the shop. Yeah, yeah.
The shops, right? Mm-hmm. We'll call it the mountain shop or whatever. You're going to be like the ski shop or something like that, right? And it's just you occasionally coming in shorts with just, for whatever reason, I imagine a lot of keys and change in your pocket. So as you walk by, you get the jingle and like, oh, that's the boss. And you just know everyone in there, even though you've never met them before.
Love that. Love that. One day.
I know that voice anywhere.
Mike does that.
I knew that voice. I knew his voice.
I knew that voice.
I know that voice.
What was it? I was with, I was at PAX East. And, you know, after that incident, you know, remember I met Tech9 at the urinal as well. Mm-hmm. Dirty Dan Reichert came up and was going to the bathroom next to me. And I was like, should I strike up a conversation with Dan right now? You know what I mean? I chose not to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like one of those where it's like, you know me, I'll talk anytime.
Sure.
It's like, I was like, ah, shit, maybe I should be like, yo, damn, what up, big dog? How you doing? Like, what's up with your life, you know? But I chose not to.
Calling a big dog at the funeral is crazy. Big
dog. What's up, low hanger? How you doing?
It's insane.
What a big dog. Oh, my God. You guys are ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a group of topics that we can go through right now. Some of them from my head, some of them from Melissa Hagler, some of them from Cozy Bear, and some other fun people over there who support us over on Patreon and can write in for some of these awesome topics. I could give you guys a choice. Do you want the choice of topics? Shall I list them all out for you?
No, I think you should surprise us.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Do we trust Nick?
No, but I think he should surprise
us.
Yeah,
he should surprise us.
Okay.
All right. Folks, we're going to get to our topic
right
after a message from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Got him.
Two topics that we're going to kick it off with.
Okay.
One, last 2 weeks ago, maybe it was last week. I don't know. Time is slipping by like a flat circle. Roger shows me this incredibly famous pop star who also happens to be a hologram.
Oh, I was going to bring this up. Yeah. This is funny.
And I think to myself, how long? I'm merging the topics now.
Oh.
How long until we just can't believe anything we see on the internet?
I think the time is now.
Man, I saw one today. Saw one today where it's like, it's close. Her eye was just a little wonky. They were like, hey, we've done it.
What are you watching?
We have an AI video of like, this is like the closest you'll get. And she was like putting
closest
on a professional
we'll
business presentation. And I was like, you know what? It's close. She always turned to one side only. Mm-hmm. And her eye was just a little wonky on this side. But I was like, you know what? You're close. You're close right there.
Yeah, I think media literacy is at an all-time low.
Yeah,
And I think that people get got all the time.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ways we can go with this discussion,
yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You brought up Hatsune Miku, which is AI, but also not AI.
Yeah.
Hatsune Miku is a Vocaloid, which is essentially a voice bank where someone is paid for their voice, and then they know that it's being used for essentially an instrument, right? And this has been going on for, I think Hatsune Miku is 13 years old right now. So like a long time. And Hatsune Miku is the like cartoon that is the representation of this Vocaloid character. And it's an instrument essentially. So it's like, it's AI, but it's like the most ethical version of this that you could possibly imagine. And she recently performed at a Coachella, which
and
is
so,
not this
someone
video, but
own
like,
this property.
Yes.
Like I
think it's
I
Yamaha.
Am that, like as opposed to like, you know, your VTuber Twitch streamers are like, this encapsulation is me. This is a voice bank, but like someone does own this, right?
Yes, someone owns the rights to it, but anyone could buy the software and use it to make their own music, which is really
with
cool.
With her.
Yes, with the voice. Yeah, which is really cool. I don't know
so
where.
So she uploaded it. It's AI generated?
Now that's where.
That's the question.
That's where I get into the little bit of the nitty gritty.
Black Magic Studio Cam.
Where it's, I believe it's AI like it's through, like the voice is put through AI to like make it into like a Vocaloid, like an actual like, I don't know, like instrument pretty much. But like it's not actual like just generative AI. It's just one person's voice that is essentially broken down into an instrument where people can press buttons and make it into
that's any crazy
song, which is awesome.
Sounds and words.
Yeah,
and
this again, this has been going on for 13 years. One of David Letterman's last performances was Hatsune Miku on
that's
his
crazy
show.
Wow.
Which is wild. So like I think it's getting like a lot of like everyone's talking about it now because it's like, oh my God, AI is getting crazy. It's like, no, this has been around. This has been going on.
But well, now this can't be much different from when like Tupac was at Coachella, like that hologram and all that.
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
the
stuff.
Same technology.
That was like 10 years ago.
For sure.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, it's not that different at all. But the difference is like this is a completely made up like thing.
Yeah.
Right. And part of the reason why this hits home for me in an exciting but also in a very terrifying way is because I love doing stand up comedy. And I've always sort of thought stand up's an interesting art form because you really can't mirror that digitally, right? You have to have people butts in a seat and a live human being standing on stage. And then in one foul swoop, Roger, without even knowing it, shows me this and goes, you have no career.
That's what I said to him. I looked at him and I said,
you're
going to
watch this on Netflix next week.
He's like, stop trying to do bad comedy every night and just retire, is what he said to me.
That's what I said to
Roger. Roger.
Put a fucking bullet in my dream.
I am truly blown away. I mean, I get it, right? Like, I totally get that and the scene and the culture around that with the music and stuff. But like, it is wild to me that people pay to go to that, right? I haven't had anything in my life where it's like, oh, I would pay. I'm ready now to pay to go watch a screen with an anime character essentially singing and taking over.
Sure.
But I don't know if I'm at that moment yet, but it will be interesting of like, will I ever get there?
Yeah. I mean, you will. Absolutely.
That's the thing is you say, well, first off, this is a screen, but like, that cheaped out. You got to see the hologram version of it.
So,
much are they using the hologram?
Hold on. So the hologram was the exclusive way that they did this for the longest time. And just recently in this latest tour,
very expensive.
Yes, and the latest tour, I don't know. There's like some Lianza actually went to go see this live in San Jose, but for some reason, the latest tour they cheaped out and they were just like, "We're just doing an LCD screen." We're
that
just doing
pissed a screen. Me off. I'd be like, "Oh my
god!" No, everyone was very mad about it. It was a big situation. And also, Coachella looks like shit because it's just a black screen and they don't know how to shoot a screen with an anime character on it. So they're just like to the side and there's more rain.
So it's like
just,
more eyes. Crazy.
Yeah, it looks awful. But there's a massive culture of like there's light sticks and people have the dances. And it was something that when I first started dating Lianza and she was like, "Oh, I'm into this." She never went to the concerts, but she was like a fan of Hatsune Miku since she was a kid. I was like, "I don't get this." But then I started to think about it and I was like, "Oh, I totally get this," right? Because it is just a bunch of producers that are using her voice as the instrument. And when you go to see her live, right, everyone knows that she's not real, right? There's no one there that's like, "Oh my God, Hatsune Miku, she's a real person." Like, they're there to see the live performance with the guitars, with the drums, with the bass player, and see their the online music essentially elevated to a live performance.
But is the... is the live music actually live? Like, are they actually playing it? Or are they just kind of like
they got
a band next full band?
Okay, because I'm like, how do they time that then with the hologram? They just have to keep the same beat. That's my thing. Is I'm like, how much of this is actually fake? Are they really playing? I mean, I see the drummer playing.
No, they're actually playing. Yeah, they just have a good choreography.
See, Mike, to your point earlier, like this doesn't vibe with me either. But if you told me 20 years ago that legitimately I'd be making my living with other people watching me play a video game, I'd be like, that's the stupidest fucking thing ever. Yeah. Yet here we are having fun playing Pokemon and having the time of our lives
time
with
of
it.
Our lives.
And people are just enjoying that.
The hologram's cool.
It's so sick, dude.
So how do you make the hologram as someone who's not like, you know, into that kind of stuff? Is there like a screen? Can she be projected anywhere? Like if I'm in the crowd and I'm dancing, they can put a hologram right next to me? Like, how does a hologram technology work?
From what I'm gathering from this, I'm pretty sure it's like a clear TV almost. That's what they're doing. That's just my guesstimate. But she stays on the stage.
Is it a giant net, a clear net that they're putting the image on and the net's everywhere? It's like
feels like a Kevin thing.
Yeah, just don't understand.
It's like they have that little thing and they do this and then Darth Maul pops up.
I'm ready for that.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
When I call you, Roger, and you answer and I see you like that.
And I'm like glitching out like all of the Star Wars media for some reason. They haven't figured out that technology.
They figured out the technology to travel faster than light and have a hologram at the palm of your hand.
But it's
and
not clear.
Fucking lightsabers. But they're like, no, we can't. We just can't get a good signal.
We haven't figured out
5G technology yet. That's my favorite thing. How do these work, Kevin? Can you look that up?
Yeah, it seems like there's a projector in the back.
Is it projecting on just a clear screen?
In one of the videos that we pulled up, it does look like there's like a...
some sort of screen, right?
Or like
a rear projection screen or something.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's just like
you gotta like see through it though, because I can see the other jabronis behind it.
Looks like there was a screen that's like translucent that just catches the light. Yeah, that's what
that
it kind
of
looks
like.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then she's stuck
in that 6x6 area.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, but this is old.
Okay, I was gonna say because like if that's all it is, and she's just on a 6x6 square, I'm not in the mood for that.
Well, and that's one of my criticisms of this whole thing, right? Is that I've seen this a lot, and I'm like, she needs to be like Travis Scott in Fortnite. You know what I mean? Like, I want her to get big. I want her to do crazy things. I want the background. So like, especially if they're doing like the LCD screen, like at the very least, make her bigger, make like the backgrounds connect with what's actually happening on the screen. Like, they don't do that much. It's just like they really commit to like, she's a pop star just standing there.
Kevin, will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
Last year, New Year's Eve, up in Tahoe, they had this big EDM DJ. I'm going to need you to look up his name. I think it's like Exorcism or something like that. You'll see it if you look it up, like Tahoe, New Year's Eve, I promise you. But this guy has like the mega screens that he does, and he gets like Shrek and like these crazy dragons come out of the screen type vibe while you're raving out. So like that one,
that's more AR,
we need
to
look that one up. Yeah, because is like, I'd go see that for sure.
Well, that's more of like a trickery. Like nothing's actually coming out of that screen. Exactly. It's just like they do the thing where they have the black bars on the bottom, and then like it looks like he's like climbing out of the thing, but it's not. Sick. It's just black bars at the bottom.
Right. It's like, it's very much akin to like the shit you've seen in the sphere in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Where you sit in the sphere in Vegas and you're like, this is just a different planet.
We gotta go to that.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
That shit's nuts. That would drive me nuts. That I'd be like, in my OCD, I'd find the one broken like panel and be like, I can't stop looking at that.
That's the one. The one pixel.
Wait, Lanza was zooming in and at the Miku concert on the one dead pixel. During Coachella, there's just one, and she's just like, what the fuck are they doing?
You gotta fix that.
I know, it's hard, I guess. People are spending hundreds of dollars to go see this thing. They're like, yeah, whatever.
I don't know, man. It's crazy. Obviously, like, technology is going to advance more and more, but, like, will we ever really get holograms? Probably not, right?
I think we will.
This kind of stuff.
That's just an LED screen.
Wait, I don't know exactly who it was. Was it Drake that did the concert where he had like a young Drake hand him a book?
That was just fake. Like that was just like straight up like a actor.
That was a person on the couch.
We thought it was like a hologram, but it wasn't. We just like, there's video of the guy walking out.
No, it was Tupac was the most famous one.
Yeah.
And Tupac, cool, I forget though. How they did, but Tupac was cool. Tupac was like light sources.
But he was in the corner, though. Like, he wasn't moving the whole stage. There was
Can you look up Tupac?
There was like a small area, right? But, if Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre came out and they were like, hey, we're going to go on tour and we're going to have the virtual Tupac hologram, I'd go to that.
Of course, yeah.
I would buy that ticket for sure.
But the scary thing is, like, you follow this where it's going, and you got to think, like, Taylor Swift's people, Beyonce's people, all these big pop stars, people are looking at this being like, how do we get her likeness? Like, how do we immortalize Taylor Swift right now, best she's ever been, get all that, get her vocal stylings, get it in AI, and then have the Eras Tour 2077, and it's an AI-generated Taylor Swift, because that's where we're going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there are more artists that are way more protective of their craft.
I'm talking about after she's dead.
Well, yeah, but aren't willingly engaging with AI, I think. From artsy people, every art person, whether it be music or actual art, seems to be way more. None of them are really embracing AI.
I'm not saying like that the artist is going to back it up, because obviously Taylor Swift's got plenty of life left and plenty of great songs left to get on stage and do. I'm talking about the rest of the industry that's horrible. I'm talking about the fact that there's still a Michael Jackson musical happening right now for the fifth time or whatever it is. Yeah. I'm talking about like, they don't. The second they die, the vultures come in and go, how do we get? Yeah, how did that? Oh, I guess that must have just been a screen, huh?
I don't really know.
Yeah, and this was a long time ago.
This was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, this was like 10 years ago. Is right, Joey. This was a long time ago.
That's got to just be like a projection screen or something like that, right?
Man, shout out to the Tupac hologram.
Yeah.
What a dope Coachella this would have been.
It was.
But like to be there. And like not know that it was happening, you know?
To not know Tupac was going to come out on stage.
There's no like clear video of it, unfortunately.
Man, I want to know how this shit works. I want a hologram of me.
Yeah.
Because
terrifying.
I have a giant LED.
Yeah, but when I pass, and obviously this company will continue through the next millennia, when the turn of the century happens again, when we have the Y2K, the 1999 fiasco, that because nobody thought we'd ever make it there, I want generations later, young Snowbike Mike Jr. to be like, I don't know, let's ask Uncle Nick and have my desk still be there, clean as a whistle, and my hologram pops up. And I go, in my day, we used to eat Fruit Loops. That and then it goes down.
Take off your shoe,
lay on your back. Let me show you an esthema lock.
Do you think that Greg Miller is currently putting together like a voice bank?
Yes.
Him? Oh, yeah.
He would jump immortal on that.
Did you ever watch, it was a really sad movie, a really beautiful and poignant movie. It was the Michael Keaton movie where he learns he has cancer like the same week that he learns that his wife is pregnant. So he spends the next 9 months making videos for his son to like teach him how to grow up. And then it's very sad. I think it's called My Life. Very sad. I have to imagine Greg's doing that, but with just benign shit.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
being like, this is the best kind of Cheez-It. You got to have this Cheez-It.
Just to torture Andy in just perpetuity.
And send it to Andy, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you associate Greg with Cheez-Its because you steal his Cheez-Its.
No, because Greg and I bonded over Cheez-Its. Yeah. That, this company wouldn't exist right now if it wasn't for the Flamin' Hot Cheez-It. Not Flamin' Hot Cheez-It. The Tabasco spicy, hot and spicy Cheez-It.
Remember
this? Yeah. Greg and I, that's it. Oh, it was so sad.
Who's the girl?
Nicole Kidman, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
She looks so baby.
Yeah. It was just really fucking sad. It was one of those where you're like, you started off and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be crying by the end of this movie. 20 minutes in, you're fucking dying. No, Greg and I became best friends because we worked on Up and Noon together. And they were like, oh, you guys are doing the Start Channel together. We'll sit you next to each other. And in between our desks that were like twice the size of the desk now, it was me, Greg, and then Drucker. And we had the delineating line. One day, Greg just put hot and spicy Cheez-Its on there, and I was like, let me get a couple of those. And we would just kind of turn and talk and eat those. Nice. Yeah, and we made the show, and it was, you know, obviously super successful. Got us to late-night television. Yeah. From there, we started doing movies. From there, Academy Awards, some tweets come out. We can't do the Academy Awards anymore. We get, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, well, it's fine. But everyone's like, oh, we forgave them already.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart. Reference.
I like that.
Cool.
I'm thinking about me going to the Met Gala, that's all.
You know what? I mean?
Just like, what would I wear? You know? That kind of stuff.
To the Met Gala.
Yeah, to the Met Gala.
What would you wear?
I don't know. I would let someone dress me. You know what I mean?
You would have
but to. I'm willing and open to do anything, just like my haircut. I would look at someone, I would say, show me your vision.
That's not true.
And Mike, I'd let
that's
them
so
draw.
Fucking, that's such
a liar. I would go to the next person and say, I would say, I'm going to let three different people show me their vision, and I will wear whatever they want.
And if one of those people puts me in a hoodie and shorts, they're getting it.
Here's what I was going to say. I got the vision for you.
You got the vision.
I know the vision.
Let's dress him.
I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to explain to you this vision. Obviously, the Met Gala is themed, by the way, so you kind of have to stick with whatever the theme is of that year.
It's loose for men, specifically, you know.
Sure. The bar is so low.
It's so low.
Mm-hmm. Mike, the theme is, for you, oversized 100 Thieves hoodies. But wait, I don't mean like it's big. I mean it is 15 times the size of a hoodie, so the bottom of it goes all the way down to your feet.
Yes.
And the hood itself is like twice the size of you.
The hood is just a cape.
It's just a cape. But it says still tiny little 100 Thieves right there.
Tiny. Right there.
Would you wear it?
Yeah, I'd wear that.
The outfit gets big, but that branding gets small.
Smaller.
Okay, you know, that's the bit.
It's unassuming. It's not pretentious.
It's not a bit.
There's some jabronis that wear shorts to the Met Gala, right?
Yeah, I think Pharrell did.
There's some shorts.
Lee Pace.
Yeah.
Pharrell had a moment where he wore shorts to everything. It was pretty cool. He had a big hat and was like, that's dumb.
I can't wear the hat. I don't like the big hat.
Never, what was the deal with the hat?
The big hat never got
me. Just attention, you know what I mean? He just wanted one thing for himself, you know?
Wanted to wear a hat.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough attention.
He doesn't get enough attention.
Multi-Grammy award-winning Pharrell.
You see he's making a movie about his life, but it's a stop-motion Lego movie. Hmm. And actually like a Lego like produced thing about his life. It's like a full-on movie. It's like weird. That's cool.
Lee Pace, love my
Lee
life.
Lee Pace Holy is a fucking shit. Specimen. Can I tell you about that?
Lee Pace, 6'7".
Have you seen his husband?
Yeah.
They're both very good looking.
It's really
gentlemen.
Unfair. Like, that's the it's one obscene. That I get real sad about. Like, ugh.
I met him one time.
What?
Yeah, because he came to do.
What?
Yeah. Just
Joey's reaction was just great. Just like, what?
In my prior life, I used to do IGN Live at Comic Con and E3 and stuff like that. And so Lee Pace came
in. Robert Downey Jr. coming out of that hotel, that Hard Rock.
Pretty cool. And Lee Pace walked into the room, and I was like, holy fucking shit, that man's a god. No. That's what a human being should look like. And then I looked at myself, and I was like, why can't you be like that?
Oh.
But my favorite part, I think that was like a year after, but is that his husband?
Yes.
Good looking, man.
I like that.
Got that Aaron Eckhart butt chin. Love that.
I love it.
Can I get one more thing off my chest before we go to the next topic?
Do whatever you want
to
do, bro.
Really quick. Watching the Transformers Year 1 trailer today or whatever.
Oof. Pretty cool.
You know, Tim retreated it. It's pretty cool. It's whatever. It's whatever. You know what I have? What
I showed the whole movie.
Problem.
The trailer's 50 minutes long, which
it's
is
crazy.
Cool.
I only watched the first bit, and I was like, I think I've had enough.
I don't need the two jabronis introing the trailer and trying to be cute and funny, but not being cute and funny. It's like, hey, dudes, get to the trailer. Like, I didn't like... We got a new trailer. It's going to be a great
time. They usually reserve that for the movie theaters.
Oh, I didn't see that. I was watching it on IGN's Instagram and just started with the trailer.
Oh, no, no. They got the two jabronis out there trying to giggle and laugh with each other.
It's at Chris Hemsworth. And who's playing Starscream? It's not Brian Tyree Henry, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. That's great.
No, they didn't have the vibe. It wasn't right.
No, and it's also like, which do you prefer more? The intro where it's the two leads talking and joking, or the one where they just spoil the entire fucking trailer in the first 5 seconds? Which one would you prefer?
I prefer a trailer that is 30 seconds long, not 5 minutes long.
I agree.
Because I was going to the restroom earlier and I started watching it and I'm like, I've been done for quite a while.
Yeah.
And this trailer is still number two. And they get all the way through it. I mean, I'm like, I've seen this movie now at this point. Yeah. I know all the beats. I know when they get the cool chest power up, when they can't transform, but they got to transform. But then he's like, oh, I got to get wheels.
Every joke.
I don't know who's playing Bumblebee. Those jokes fell flat. Not
I think
good.
That's Michael Keegan. Or Michael.
Keegan and Michael Key.
Yes.
Yeah, it is him.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
And that's just, God bless him. But you can't throw him into a movie and have him do all the heavy lifting for the comedy. You got to have the other leads kind of pull some of that.
Real talk. You're the Transformers guy. You know everything about Transformers.
Tim is the Transformers.
You're the Transformers guy.
I'm the Transformers guy. Yeah. I know everything there is to know about Transformers.
Why are they cars on Cybertron?
They weren't originally, I don't think.
Why the fuck are we doing this?
The idea was that they were just like, correct me if I'm wrong, chat, live chat, Felipe, I'm looking at you. Michael Hidalgo, I'm looking at you. Cooper Fuqua, I'm looking at you. The idea was that they were just like mechanical aliens that when they came to Earth became cars to fit in.
Disguise.
And be able to drive around and be disguised. Robots in disguise was the whole concept of it. Actually, Kevin knows a lot about Transformers.
I'm pretty sure that they were just Cybertronian like ships, like planes and cars and motorcycles.
So they were cars, American.
It's a planet of cars.
Earth cars.
Yeah. No, nobody said that.
In Cybertron.
I don't know.
Because it's just like, when I watch the trailer, it's like, why is he a truck?
You also need to remember that when they made these shows, all of these shows, they designed the toys before they made the actual show.
Yeah.
So if you ever watch The Toys That Made Us, the theme that runs through a lot of 80s shows is that they were just really unabashed vehicles to sell toys to dumb shit kids like me. Fuck me, I loved all those toys.
Yeah.
I had every goddamn Transformer. Oh, yeah. I had the Starscream that turned into a fucking legit gun. It was this big, and if I ran down the street with it on the wrong night, a cop might have shot me because I had that gun, and nobody gave a shit about it. What's that?
That was Megatron.
What did I say?
Starscream.
No, Starscream was the plane. Yeah, it was Megatron, which is hilarious because I was always like, when he transforms in the show, he becomes a gun big enough for like Starscream to hold.
Yeah.
But in real life, he becomes a gun big enough for me to get shot holding it.
Mm.
So it's that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I had the one that turned into a rat.
What?
That's Rattata. Come watch our Pokemon Let's Play.
Watch our Pokemon.
You can't get that reference unless you watch your.
No, Mike just called Rattata. He's like, that's Rattata. I'm like, why are you my Uncle Lou from Jersey?
Rattata. Everybody knows Rattata.
Yeah.
Can we, as a group, try to convince Tim that I wasn't on Transformers in Review?
No.
So I can get out of seeing this movie?
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why, Joey. Because if I have to do it, you have to do it also.
I know.
Can you transform into me, and then we could switch places.
Oh, because
I'll watch these horrible movies. I don't give a shit.
Roger's willing to watch.
My name is literally Rog Former on Twitter and everywhere because I watched Transformers, the original, the Michael Bay one, when I was a kid, and I was like, what if my name was Roger and Transformers, and I was like Rog Former. That's literally the.
That's really where it comes from.
I mean, no.
What is the year of the first Michael Bay Transformers?
2005.
I was. It was definitely like.
Man, that was back when we staked all of our hopes on Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I really did.
Disturbia.
Disturbia was a good
movie.
Yeah. I stand by that. Remake, right?
Yeah.
I was like 9 when that movie
came
out.
Here's the thing about the biggest Transformers movies and the Ninja Turtles movies and pretty much anything that.
Yeah, so I was 8 years old. Yeah.
Pretty much anything that Michael Bay touches is the same level of really bad. And the Transformers 1 is passable. Every other Transformers beyond that. Starts getting so unbelievably confusing, convoluted, and poorly made that it's almost a joke when you get about halfway through it. And you're like I forget the one of the last night or Transform, whatever.
They're in the desert.
They're always in the desert. Yeah. Josh Duhamel spends the entire time in these movies in the desert. And then somehow he morphs into Mark Wahlberg in the desert.
Yeah.
But these movies are so, it's like a joke that they don't give a fuck about any sort of plot moments in these movies. It's just show the movie the things transforming so that we can sell it to foreign markets and sell more toys in those foreign markets. That's it. Yeah. Merchandise. And it's like a joke that you would see in another Hollywood movie. Like remember you watch The Boys when they're making that shitty knockoff of the arguably shitty movie Justice League?
Yeah.
It's like that, where it's just a commentary on how fucking bad movies are, except this is real. We actually had to go watch this movie.
Yeah.
Wild. So, yeah, you can absolutely join. Joey, you have to join too.
Okay.
Making the executive decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also just want to ask a quick question.
Uh-huh.
What, like, junior high cafeteria does Mike raid to get these little tiny mini drinks that he brings in?
Hell yeah.
I hate it.
Pineapple juice, Raj. Me and Raj go to the corner store all the time.
Why do you do the pineapple juice?
Little juice.
Why
do you do the pineapple juice, Mike? Little pick-me-up. I need a little pick-me-up.
Little pick-me-up.
You know what I mean? I'm trying not to drink Frappuccinos all day, every day. So it's like, what about a little juice?
Are you just taking 22 grams of sugar to the dome?
Boom.
Done. How many?
22 in that tiny-ass can.
22 grams. That's a candy bar.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's pure sugar.
Chai might be better for you.
Wait, did you say really?
Really? I took it as it's small, so it can't be that bad.
Small but concentrated. That's what, dude, juice is the secret killer, man.
Yeah.
People, there was a moment there where, like, smoothies and shit were all the rage.
Yeah.
Remember when they used to, like, feed us Sunny D growing up?
Oh, Sunny D.
Sunny D rocks.
Remember that purple stuff that was in the ad? Sunny. Oh, what? Oh. There was an ad that was like, whoa, we're going to raid mom's fridge. What do we got in there? Oh, we got some juice. We got some purple stuff. Oh, Sunny D. Oh, Sunny D. Let's get the Sunny D.
Yeah,
kids
vitamins.
Love the Sunny D. Of course they do. It's pure sugar.
Yeah.
Pure concentrated sugar.
And Tang.
And then everyone started getting diabetes.
Tang.
Never had Tang. Never. I've never heard stories about Tang.
Tang with the orangutan.
I know, but I've never had it.
He was an orangutan mascot. Roger, back in the 90s, we had really awesome commercials.
No, I don't. Oh, I don't.
You know about Dunkaroos?
So sure.
I was like, I'm so sorry he's making you listen to Sex Education.
I don't know about this thing. So he was orangutan?
Yeah. You know about Dunkaroos?
Yes, I know about Dunkaroos.
Kangaroo?
Yeah, I know that.
Tricks?
Yeah, of course I don't fucking Tricks.
Okay, good. Worried about you.
I don't know Tang, though.
Tang.
Yeah. That was like a short. That was a short. Well,
Tang, that was the commercial.
To be fair, we'll bring up like an old commercial of it. It was crazy.
Tang was not. Tang was on its way out when I was a kid.
It wasn't Sunny D. Never was.
No, Sunny D. They always continues to endure.
Okay.
But
I
don't know
that's
that.
The purple stuff. Tang was popular because it was like the astronaut drink.
Yes.
Right? Wasn't that the whole the astronaut?
I don't
want to
say that because I was like, am I being stupid? Right
no,
now?
No, it's definitely the monkey of some sort is like in a what do they call?
I don't
remember
being an orangutan.
What?
Yeah, so that's the concentrate they took up to the to space or whatever.
I didn't know that either. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but it's just like Kool-Aid, it's like
I think
powder.
So. I remember it coming in also a can, but okay. We were never a Tang family.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know how that works. We were like a Minute Maid juice family, okay. Whatever. Basically, Elena Scarpino had a coupon for. We were that kind of family.
Sure. Yeah.
But to be fair, growing up, we drank a lot of Coca-Cola because it was the cheapest, sugariest thing you could possibly feed a child.
We were a Pepsi family, which sucked.
Oof,
oh,
tough one.
Hated
it.
So unfortunate.
My brother, man, we would only drink. Well, at least my whole family would just be. It would be like one Pepsi in the fridge, and the rest would just be out room temperature because my mom and my brother are just insane people. So they'd just drink room temp Pepsi, and that's the way they preferred it.
Oh, I drink room temp Diet like Coke all the time.
You prefer that though?
Yeah, like I don't put it in our fridge. I put
there
it
you
up
go.
Top.
I learned something today.
But like in San Francisco, like the cans, if you leave them on the counter, are like relatively chilly.
Yeah, maybe a summer in New York.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
they're definitely cooler than not.
Yeah. Okay. A little less weird.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, shit.
I don't think I've talked about this yet. I haven't had a Diet Coke in like a year.
What
crazy?
About Coke Zero?
It's nothing.
Yeah.
I've been trying to quit diet soda for a long time, and finally it just stuck. I haven't had a diet soda. I haven't had any aspartame in my system in forever. Isn't that wild?
Ever since you put up the big curtain, so you can't see the fridge anymore and go to it.
No, it's before that. I think it's been like...
out of sight, out of
it's
mind.
It's probably coming up... It's been a while.
So
I don't remember the last time.
A conscious thing you're doing?
Conscious thing, because what was happening was I was drinking Diet Coke or Coke Zero instead of water. And then I was staying up all night just like looking through the wall.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll switch over to decaf coffee at night and then in the morning so that I'm not super caffeinated. I tried to switch decaf 100%. I failed at that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because you get, turns out I'm so horribly addicted to caffeine, you get wicked headaches.
Yep.
To the point where you can't, you can feel the back of your eyeballs.
Yep.
Which is a tough
one.
So I'm trying to wean off caffeine completely. But part of that was I was like, what can I give up first? And Diet Coke was the
was
the first one.
Oh, shit.
That was Tang. That girl needed a tang or else she could feel the back of her eyeball.
Yeah.
Why is her hair wet?
I don't know.
It's a tang. Gets everywhere.
That monkey
they're getting hit by the tang. Tang.
Oh, they're getting hit by the tang.
Shit was crazy back then, man.
Look at this kid. That's the most 90s kid I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's when we were just incredible. Doing anything with animals and like commercials and productions. Oh, yeah. We're just like, fucking give the monkey some fucking tang. He'll figure it out. Just film it.
It was the Taco Bell Chihuahua. And Dunstan checks in.
And Spud McKenzie. Dude, okay, five orangutans died making this.
Oh, absolutely, dude.
And nobody cared in the 90s.
Absolutely.
Say, who's Spud McKenzie?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, who's Spud McKenzie?
Only the most famous dog from the 80s.
Is it Spot?
Lassie?
No, well, Lassie was pretty famous. Actually, Lassie is arguably more famous.
Okay, the dog from
Lassie's
Homeward
not really
Bound.
From the 80s,
Spud
though,
McKenzie was like, it was a mascot dog, and I can't remember for what product. I want to say it was Bud Light or Coors Light or something like that. Look it up. I'll slack it to Kevin.
The horse. The Clydesdale.
Yeah, no, the Budweiser.
Here we go. There we go.
The Clydesdale.
Ready for it? Look at these hot ladies. Look at that hot guy. Oh, it was Budweiser. There's Spud.
Oh, the Target dog.
He fucking rocks.
Okay.
So they had a Target dog too.
He wasn't the Target dog.
But
he was
the same type.
He's one of those ugly ass dogs that has like no delineation between his forehead and his nose.
Yeah. Mm.
But Spud was it, man. You know, largely because it was just like when I was a kid, maybe potentially hitting puberty. I just remember all the commercials with ladies in bikinis being like, this dog fucking has a good life.
Yeah. Gets it. I'm gonna drink Bud Light in 10 years.
I think that was just Budweiser.
Bud Light right now.
That was just straight up Budweiser. Oh, he is a Target dog.
Yeah, it's the same type of dog.
Same dog. What is that dog, Kevin?
The Bull Terrier.
The Bull Terrier?
Joey's right. It's a Bull Terrier.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't like that now they just made this dog into a cartoon. Like, I don't appreciate that. Like, I want like both, right? I want like the real dog and I want like the cartoon as well. Like, now it's just the.
Are you talking about the Target dog?
Yeah, the Target dog. Target dog specifically.
First off, Target and their esteemed, wonderful, beautiful marketing team.
I apologize.
Can do whatever the fuck they want in this house. This is a Target house, right?
Yeah. I love Target.
You can take that sort of attitude, I'll say it, attitude that you've had, that Tudoronomy, you take that shit straight over to CVS.
Yeah.
Okay, you go flaunt that over there. We're a Target household. Bullseye dogs live on a ranch just north of Los Angeles, trained by David McMillan, operator of Worldwide Movie Animals. In 2004, American artist Amy Brazil was commissioned to paint an 8-foot by 8-foot portrait of Bullseye, which now hangs at Target Corporation headquarters. Oh.
Wait, can we get an 8x8 painting of some animal? Here?
Yeah, we can paint Greg.
Yeah.
You fucking got him. Mm-hmm.
I had an embarrassing moment at Target this weekend, last weekend.
Uh-oh.
Landon and I, we're just children, right? We have nothing to do on a Saturday, right? So we're just like, fuck it. Let's go to Target. Let's just walk around, right? We're walking around. Of course, we know where we go. The ball aisle. You know what I mean?
The ball aisle.
A bunch of bouncy balls. Her and I are looking at each other. Let's get the ball. Bounce it as high as possible. Bang, bang. We're bouncing these balls as high as possible.
Grown-ass adults.
Guess who turns the corner? Jonathan
Security.
Dornbush. Jonathan turns the corner with his partner. And they look at us, and I just look at them. I say, we're bouncing balls. Just bouncing balls. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to explain the situation, but like we're just bouncing balls. And like, hey, that was a vulnerable moment, and maybe we're going to be closer after that. You know what I mean? Maybe they're going to look at us and say, you know, those guys are cool, and maybe never talk to them ever
or
again.
Or they're like, yo, let's never talk to them again.
Yeah, they were on a Saturday so just funny. Fucking throwing balls, had no, didn't have anything in the cart, nothing, just completely just walking
Did
around.
Did you have a cart?
We had like the little hand ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. We had nothing in there. We were just bouncing balls.
Just there to bounce balls.
Just bouncing balls.
And if anyone asks, you go, we're going to buy something.
Yeah.
And you look in, it's just a thing of mayonnaise. That's what we came here for.
It's a crazy Saturday. Yeah.
Honestly,
did you continue to bounce the balls after they walked?
No, it was embarrassing. We left. We left immediately. Like they were not giving us any judgment. Yeah. They were like, "Oh, we get it. We're looking at video games." Ha ha ha. And then they left, and I was just like, "Listen, Lanza, I was like,
we gotta
can't go to this Target ever again.
No,
yeah, go to this one ever again.
You gotta leave the city.
Yeah, I might have to.
That's embarrassing.
I have to quit. This sucks.
That is embarrassing.
It sucks. Holy shit.
No, there's no shade thrown in Targets, ladies and gentlemen. Because Targets are amazing. Once a week, I probably go to a Target. Just eat with the one over there. Just walk around it a little bit.
Fuck yeah.
I'll go with Mike, I'll go with anyone. Yeah, people come. I was.
Yeah, we need a little more Target runs in our business here.
Favorite Target run ever was when Elise was in town.
Okay,
I don't think he worked here yet.
I don't think so.
No.
This was an old office, and we were just like we went to lunch there. I forget what
we
it was
probably
for.
Went to like Poke Bowl.
Yeah, it was
something
stupid, and then I was like, I gotta go to Target. We just wandered around a Target for an hour, hanging out with Elise, buying stuff. It was so fun. I miss them. Yeah, hope I see him soon.
Hopefully.
Hope I see him soon.
We should do that with every guest that comes in the studio.
Take him to Target.
Just take him to Target and just see what the vibe is. Do they catch the vibe of a Target run? Where do they take us? What aisles?
Yeah, what if
they
you let them lead? Right?
Well,
yeah,
where do they go?
The real question is, are they going to be me or are they going to be my wife? Okay. Let me explain to you what we do every single Saturday or Sunday, depending on what we got going on, right? We always do the run of Trader Joe's and Target. It's the 1-2 punch in the city. There's a Trader Joe's and a Target always right next to each other.
Yep.
Right? Always. So we do that run. And I don't have the heart to tell her because I'm in love with her still, that I just want to spend a little bit more time in the Target.
Wow.
But she wants to always get lunch afterward. And every once in a while, we'll be like, what lunch are we going to get? Is it going to be a bougie lunch? Is it going to be like something that's going to be a little too expensive and then it'll give us enough sweet potato fries? And then we always, every single time without fail, decide we'll just get Chipotle.
Yeah.
Because there's a Chipotle right there too, right? So she's always hungry to get to the Chipotle. And I just want to go to the toy and electronics section of Target and hang out for a couple minutes.
Maybe the bouncy ball section now.
You know, I'm going there.
Whoa. You know what would be sick?
What's that?
If they had hot pretzels. Get a little appy, hot pretzel on the walk.
A Slurpee.
Hold down that hunger until we're done.
You're talking advanced level mathematics.
I'm letting you know, Roger, that a nice little warm, buttery, salty pretzel goes a long way on the walk.
Does he try to get you to get a pretzel every time?
He took me to the mall the other day. He took me to Dick's Sporting Goods, and he's like, Gotta get a pretzel. We gotta get a pretzel. I'm like, no,
mall pretzel, yeah. It's top tier.
But like, we're not walking the mall, right? We just went to Dick's. Like, we went to the Dick's entrance.
He wouldn't let me buy the $80 gloves.
And he's like, we gotta go the opposite direction and go get this fucking pretzel. I'm like, no,
we gotta
get
the pretzel, Roger.
You gotta get the pretzel, Rod.
And then we went on like a two-hour hike or whatever. Like, we did not.
Beautiful hike.
We didn't need that pretzel. We didn't need that pretzel bike.
I could have used two pretzels, to be honest with you.
Think about how much further he would have hiked if he'd had the pretzels.
That's true. Shit. I stopped you. I apologize.
Before we wrap up, a very important question. Segwaying. Where do you guys come down on the little mini puffy pretzel sticks with the cheese that you can dip into it?
Bites are god tier.
Oh, the pretzel bites.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah?
No?
No, they're way better than the twisted ones.
The cheese is only for tortilla chips. Period. What? End of story. I'm not putting no fucking pretzel in there. Pretzel by itself. Pretzel by
itself. We're going to go to a baseball game, and I'm going to change that.
Okay, I'm sure it's good, but like, I got hard.
How about mustard?
There. Yeah, sure, fine.
Okay, but the cheese, you draw a line.
Yeah, cheese is too much.
How do you feel about the cinnamon sugar?
Wow.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, too.
Joey, I just slacked you something. Can you read it out loud for the kids, please?
Read it out loud.
Please tell Roger it's his last day here.
Get out.
I mean, well, it's too much. Well, you don't like a tortilla chip? It has structure? This is too soft.
I love the tortilla chip, too, but you're missing the pillowy.
It's dense.
Yeah, man, look at that. Oh, my God, look at that.
I'd rather that be mustard.
It's not
mustard. Shut up, must with your mustard.
I'd rather that be mustard.
Let me tell you what's doing too much. The current pretzel bite, shove a mini hot dog in the middle. I love the idea. The issue is the hot dog always flies out.
What?
Then I'm just eating a...
No, no.
I'm letting you know from experience. I bought it a lot. I buy them. The hot dog is falling out of the pretzel. I take one bite, it flies out. It's just not... It's called doing too much.
That's why you got to suck the hot dog out first.
No, this is a skill issue.
Yeah, suck that hot dog out.
Yeah, suck the hot dog out.
Suck the hot dog out while watching 50 Shades of Grey that one time.
I just want to say, really quick, someone in chat, Gary the Third, said, little beer cheese. Okay. Maybe if it's high quality cheese, I'd be into it. But like the generic, like just bullshit cheese that's just whatever, like the nuclear yellow, no.
Yeah, here's what I'll tell you. Dude. If you're at a first off, yes.
Hold up. That is not the Annie Ann's pretzel that you're getting.
That's the pig in a blanket.
That's the Kevin Coelho pig in a blanket. They're delicious. They're incredible.
I want one right
Go
now.
Go to the Annie Ann's pig in a blanket.
That's
pretzel.
A Wetzel right pretzel.
Look at that. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
See, the thing that's better than these are the pizza bites where they just have pepperoni on top.
Here's
you
my
get a
thing
little
about
marinara. Do you not say the last marinara?
Whoa!
Wow! Marinara.
I didn't expect that one.
If you want to learn how to speak marinara. Italian, you got to just leave off as many letters as you possibly can and still get it.
Marinara.
Okay, he's got that. He's got that. If you're at a place that's a nice bougie restaurant, right, and you order the pretzel bites, and they bring you something that's yellow, and it's not a bougie cheese dip, if it's a mustard, get up and leave that place. It's a cheap ass restaurant. Mustard is the cheapest condiment. And I say I like mustard.
Mustard?
But I will say
it's so good.
If you
Dijon,
mustard's
though.
Like No, not
I'm,
Dijon.
I
I'm a
like
brown
a
mustard. I'm a brown mustard guy. Grey Poupon, get the fuck out
Give
of here.
Give me the French's. That. Stick with the classics.
You guys are crazy. I don't want to be here anymore. This is crazy. I'm gonna go to Target and bounce this fucking ball. I can't do this anymore.
Let's go get some pretzels.
Let's go get some pretzels.
Has Kevin ever asked to have a pretzel machine here? Like, no, you know, he has a lot of asks, like, for the kitchen and stuff.
Yes.
Has he ever asked, well, like, let's just order 100 frozen pretzels and then get the twirly warmer and just put it up on the desk?
I feel like he did ask for a popcorn machine at one point.
I asked for one thing, an ice and water dispenser.
He almost had it.
Almost had it. Gave it to us. I don't think I've asked. Maybe one time I joked about a donut machine.
Oh.
Mini donut light machine. Joke.
Now, I want you guys to know that Kevin is telling the story, but he's only telling half the story. For the longest time, he was talking about this ice machine.
Yeah.
And how he's got an in.
He had the
and how me and Roger
were there. I saw the history.
We were there. Machine.
And I you know me. I don't like change. I don't like anything new in this office. Because to me, anything new in this office is just going to be a problem I got to deal with later down the road. Ice machines are going to, who the fuck knows? It's going to freeze over and explode, hit through the wall. I got to patch the wall up or whatever.
Water line's going to leak.
Kevin knows that I love iced coffee. And he sold me on this thing. He was like, dude, this is the giblet I like. I'm like, fuck, you're right. So finally we okay it. And then I've never seen Kevin more crestfallen, more heartbroken than the day he pitched him on the hard sell. I was like, remember that deal? And they were like, sorry, dude, can't do it. And he was just like, you were broken for a while about that, Kev.
It affected me greatly.
Yeah.
I was happy.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's still affecting Kevin.
I got my regular ice in this water right now, and I'm having a terrible time.
Just regular.
What be regular. A bummer, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it today for the Kind of Funny podcast. Let us know what you thought of this podcast in the podcast comments below if you're watching this on YouTube. Hey, if you're watching this in your car, listening to this in your car on one of the many podcast services we have out there, tell a friend. Or if you really liked what we talked about today and you want to support us, feel free, maybe throw us a Kind of Funny membership over on Patreon or YouTube to get all the shows ad-free. Watch us record live like so many people like Felipe and Matthew and Gary the Third are doing right now. And you get a daily exclusive show, which is bonkers and fun. And maybe one day will be the end of Greg. We're not quite sure. But there's a lot of stuff in that that's just bonkers and wild. Mm-hmm. Of course, folks, it's been our pleasure to serve you. We love you so much. If you're watching, you don't have any more bucks to give. Thank you. A comment, a subscription. Any of that stuff. What was that?
I think those were the girls laughing.
It's a cackle.
There was a cackle in the other room that sounded like someone just killed
those
a lion of some sort. folks, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. I love you. Bye.